What are we doing on this? Practices of
Christians and their spiritual life habits of practices that are good for them.
Good practices.
Good spiritual practices. I like that.
All right.
Healthy spiritual practices, maybe.
Healthy spiritual practices. All right. 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Piney Pastors Podcast, the elders meeting after show where we hang out to discuss theology and issues relevant to covenant members at Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri. It's like a Bible study, covenant members gathering, elders hangout, and talk show all wrapped up into one. And it's all about making disciples of Jesus Christ. So grab another cup of coffee and let's get started.
Welcome to another episode of the Piney Pastors Podcast, and Happy New Year, unless you're listening to this in June, in which case, isn't it nice to be in summer? I'm Steve Hopp,
enjoying the sun.
And joining me are
Jason Myers
and Nathan Smith.
And we are thrilled to be coming to you today on the Triple P. Today we're going to talk about healthy spiritual practices. And so, Jason, you were the one who came up with this brilliant idea. So,
brilliant.
Why don't you get us started? Why don't you tell us some healthy spiritual practices? Let's start in the area of Bible reading and prayer.
That sounds like two.
that might be two areas.
That's two areas. But I think they go together, though.
Yeah, they go together. And it's like 1A and 1B, which fits really well with your mind.
It does. So 1A would be Bible reading, and 1B would be prayer. And I think they go together, and that's actually probably a really helpful practice or tip for reading Scripture, is reading it prayerfully. And it's, I think it's helpful for praying because it focuses your prayers. I find that most helpful though to pray when I'm reading the Psalms.
Amen. Yes.
It just lends itself to doing so. Not that you can't or shouldn't pray other passages and other parts of Scripture. But yeah, I think if you read prayerfully, it makes it less likely for you to be bored or distracted, and I think it helps you to internalize it. You got to really understand what you're praying as you're reading anyway, so it helps you to interpret and think through things. So yeah, I think that probably would be the number one spiritual practice, is reading prayerfully and pray readingly. Does that make sense?
Praying Scripture.
There you go.
I find myself praying Scripture more as I walk farther in my Christian life. I find myself when I read Scripture, it's just one of the ways that I think about it. How can I turn this into a prayer, either for myself or for other people?
Hmm. Yeah. That's good. So, I know you're moderating this discussion.
Sure.
Leading it, but I was thinking about the nuts and bolts, like, it's New Year. A lot of people are thinking about how to be more disciplined in things in general. So, what are some practical sort of nuts and bolts things to help in reading? Like, what do you guys do as far as... Do you have a plan for reading, or do you just go every day, I'm going to open to a random psalm and maybe see if I can turn this into a prayer?
I drop my Bible from 7 feet high, because 7's a holy number, and whatever it opens up to, that's where I start reading.
Excellent.
Yeah, I have started, actually Sandy and I, my wife Sandy, if you don't know, have started reading, using a Bible plan. It was one that was recommended by John Piper. Discover Bible. I can't remember what the name of it was, but if you look on Desiring God, for one of the first days of the year, he recommended it, and I was able to Google it and find it, and so it gives it has you read from four different places in the Bible. So right now we're currently reading
Discipleship Journal.
Is it Discipleship Journal? Okay. Yeah. So it doesn't have Discovery in it at all.
Well, D-I-S. There is discovery in the discipleship.
Well, anyway, I really like it because it has you read from four different places in the Bible. So currently we're in Genesis and Psalms and Matthew and Acts. And so Well, we read, it's a little bit more in Genesis. You know, it might be 2, 3, 4 chapters in Genesis, one psalm, and maybe half a chapter in Matthew and half a chapter in Acts.
I just want to give a little redemption here for Steve. If you go to the www.bible.com, the reading plans, discipleship journal, it says discover right up top.
All right.
It's a button you can click even.
Wants you to discover the discipleship journal.
The discipleship journal Bible reading plan.
So yeah, we're doing that, but I also, along with that kind of a plan, I usually also have a book that I am studying deeply.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm
Book of the Bible, you mean?
Yeah, Book of the Bible. I'm finishing up Proverbs. I've been in Proverbs for a good 3-4 months now, but I have a commentary that I'm reading along, and I'm also doing some other things. I'm not really journaling, but
what
I'm...
What commentary?
Kidner.
Derek Kidner,
yeah. It was funny. I hadn't been in it for a couple of weeks because of Christmas and other things had interrupted my study there. And I told Sandy that yesterday morning I tore the house apart practically trying to find my Proverbs commentary, only to finally remember that I had it on Kindle. So it was on my phone.
That's
so
nice.
Anyway, so I usually have a book of the Bible that I'm studying deeply. I think I'm going to do Revelation next. So
it's a good one.
Yeah. So that's what I do. But the Bible plan is kind of something that she and I do together. Often I read it to her while she's cooking supper. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I do a... it's the... For the Love of God, D.A. Carson has 2 volumes of that where it goes through that same kind of idea where I think he calls it the Robert Murray McShane plan. It's the 4 different parts of Scripture. And so right now I'm reading in Numbers, in Isaiah, in 1 Peter, and in Psalms. And I think that gives you some breadth of reading, so you get like a more flavor of all of the Bible and some unity and how it fits together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of Carson's thing. He has like one, it's like a one page, not really even a devotional as much as a just connected thoughts on each chapter of the Bible. and so he's doing that. He's got his 3rd volume coming out soon. But I use that. So I'll read different 4 of those. And then I also have a book I'm reading deeply through. I'm reading through Isaiah, studying through that, journaling through that.
I got a new commentary for Christmas on Isaiah if you want to borrow it.
Who's it by?
I don't remember. Oh, yeah, I do. Motyer? Motyer, yeah.
Yeah, but I think it looks like Motyer. I think it's called Mattia. Alec Mattia.
What?
That's what I got. I know. Well, that's what Tim Keller calls him, Mattia. And he was, I think Mattia was his mentor or something for a while.
Well, what does Tim Keller know?
Yeah, a lot, apparently. But, yeah, that's one I have, actually.
A good bit, he knows.
One thing I like about the one that we're using is that there's only 25 per month. So if you miss a few days, it's okay. And I mean, it's okay whether you're using that one or
not.
But, you know, I've used plans before and then I've gotten behind and it's like, oh my goodness, I'll have to read
especially
for 8 hours to catch up.
Especially if they have the dates on them.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my gosh, yeah. Well, so I just read recently an article about a pastor recommending people to not read the Bible through in a year. And he said, if you're doing it, fine, great. But his reasoning is that most people, that's all they do is spend time reading and not really digesting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, if you can digest and have the time to read all of it, then that's even better. But most people just do it to get it done, and they feel overwhelmed by it. They end up failing, and it's daunting, and they feel guilty, and there's shame involved. And it's just there was no command that said you have to do it in the first place and that people feel like it is. And so their consciences are overly burdened by something. It's not a command to read the whole Bible through in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Good idea. Can be really helpful in a lot of ways. But if it's not for you, then don't do it. And instead, be intentional. And be diligent, be faithful, be consistent in reading what you can read. And I think that whenever we talk about praying through Scripture, I find it really difficult if I'm trying to get done 4 to 5, 6 chapters at a time to pray through it.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes that much more time.
Yeah.
And I don't always have that time.
Yeah.
And so what I'll try to do is I'll spend one day where I'm focusing on Isaiah and just going through a little section at a time. And then I'll journal through that. just write my thoughts down on it. And then another day I'll read, try to read three or four of those passages from different, you know, chapter from different books of the Bible. And then another day I'll try to read anywhere between 5 to 10 chapters out of one book of the Bible. So you get some depth that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you get kind of, especially in the narratives, it kind of flows better that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't do that as often as I redo the others, but I find that helpful as well. Yeah. And so I don't feel like I have to, I don't have a, when I have a plan, I just don't have a schedule, if that makes sense, like where I have to get it done in a certain amount of time.
One thing I like about doing it with Sandy is that you can discuss it and you can ask questions of each other. And I think that helps you to digest and think about what you've been reading. So Nathan, we haven't let you talk at all.
That's because, do you have any spiritual habits?
Well, we're talking about healthy
ones. Oh, healthy ones.
So,
okay.
No, actually, did I write that article that you were reading? Because I'm...
No.
No.
But
no.
Have you?
But...
Did you?
No.
You should have.
No, but I'm kind of putting that into practice this year. For a good number of years, a lot of years, I would read through the Bible every year. I have for probably 10 years. This year, I decided not to do that.
Because you're a rebel.
But to start with Hebrews and read it slowly, reread it, journal through it, study it deeply. I'm also reading a psalm, or depending on length, so far, the psalms are fairly short at the beginning of psalms. So I'm reading a psalm a day and a proverb or a part of a proverb every day.
Let me know how that goes when you get to 119.
Yeah. That'll be one that I probably break up a bit. But, I've found that I was reading, you know, had a lot of breadth, but not a lot of depth in my reading.
A lot of information, but not always able to process it all.
Yeah. And then, or if I did, if something would really capture my attention, I would think about it deeply, you know, then I would get behind in my reading plan.
Can't afford to do that.
Yeah. So I think it was good. I think just especially for someone who maybe just the discipline of it helped me just to have something every day that I knew, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Sometimes, especially if it's early in the morning, which is I typically read it in the morning. If I have to think about what I'm going to do very hard, it's easier to just not. Or my mind wanders as I'm trying to get there, and I waste a lot of time. So,
I think the reading through the Bible is good if you've never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an excellent way to become more familiar with
The
entirety of Scripture. But I can see where if you've done it for 10 years in a row, doing something different would be beneficial. You know, when we conduct covenant member reviews, one of the responses I get when I ask about spiritual disciplines and talk about reading the Bible is, I just don't have time. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you guys get that too. How do you respond to that?
That's how I respond.
and that's helpful.
Yeah, it really is. People are blessed by that. Wrong.
Wrong answer.
False. No, I think that it... I get it. I remember for years I would spend 1 to 3 hours a day reading scripture, and I was...
And this was before you had kids,
before,
right?
I had kids, before I was married.
Right.
And I enjoyed it. And then when I got married, it was a little more challenging, but I did it anyway. I could, you know, spend 1 hour plus every day. And then we had started having children, and not so much... it was just, I find it way more difficult than I ever thought it could be to be consistent and to have length of time. It's just, things were needed. And then you have more children, and it just makes it all harder.
Yeah, you find if you're going to obey Scripture,
that's right,
then you
can't always be reading
it as much
and studying it. Yeah, so I get that. And I think that when there are seasons of life where you do have less time, and I think you need to take advantage of the time you do have, and sometimes maybe even realize you do have more time than you think. So the past couple of nights, for some reason, I have been not been able to go to sleep as early as I normally do. And so I thought, I know, normally when I read, I get really tired, so I'll read. And turns out I've been staying awake an extra hour reading and thought, I just got to go to bed. So putting it down. But utilizing that time, whenever whenever you have it, utilize it. And so I'm always have, whether you put a book in your car, whether you have a Bible in the bathroom, whether you take it with you, have it in your purse, your bag or whatever, just saying, I'm going to take it with me. And whenever I have it, or you have it on your phone, you can read and you can pray. And really making the best use of the time.
Yeah.
And doing that well, but not feeling like, and that's part of the thing, again, for me, is saying I don't have to get, it's not about quantity of getting it all done in a short amount of time. It's about quality. And sometimes, yes, it's not just like, well, this whole past year I read 3 verses. Yeah, you do need to have some quantity. It matters. But in a given day and week, if you say, I only got to really focus on, 5 or 10 verses, but God, this is what God was doing in my heart and teaching me and reminding me of things, or even if you're just reading one verse for the entire day and you keep meditating on it, or thinking about it, and praying over it, that's still a win.
Yeah,
I think that if you're really trying to digest it, meditate on it, and internalize it, that's much better than saying, I feel like such a spiritual loser because I didn't read the Bible, but 3 days that week. Well, you praise God. He gave you 3 days where He was doing something through the Word.
And I think one of those healthy spiritual practices is taking times periodically to evaluate how we're using our time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The beginning of the year is the time that people typically do that. I think doing it more frequently. I've often thought it would be a good idea to do it. Some people do it daily. They kind of, at the end of the day, evaluate how they spent their time, do it weekly. I've never been that disciplined to do that. But at the very least, annually, I think, people have different views about New Year's resolutions, and some people are really down on them. But it is a good point to kind of take stock and go, well, how am I using my time? What unhealthy habits have I slipped into? If I can't sleep and I, wake up, I'm up for an hour. Am I taking that as time to grow spiritually, to nourish myself spiritually, or am I turning on, Netflix or whatever and wasting that time?
Kind of like a New Year's reflection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we can and should be doing it more often. But if we
will often lead to some resolution or goal or change. I think any time we reflect, it's going to lead to change. It should.
And I think sometimes we need a paradigm shift. Mm-hmm. I think that we need to reprioritize, which is what you were saying, Nathan. But I don't think any of the people that I ask, how are you doing with Bible reading, they go, they kind of grimace and they make all kinds of faces and they say, well, not so good. Well, not doing so well. I don't think any of those people would say I shouldn't be reading my Bible.
Right.
I think they would all say, I need to be reading my Bible. I think we know that because it's nourishment to our souls.
Right.
And so maybe a question we need to ask is, when's the last time I skipped a meal? I'm always nourishing my body. I always take time to do that, which is more important. And not saying you should quit eating and start reading your Bible. I'm saying that you make time for the things that are important. And so I think we need a paradigm shift to see how important, and this goes right along with the sermon you preached on Sunday, Jason, that the importance, seeing the importance and the urgency and seeing the necessity of reading God's word for our souls, and then making the time to do that, whether it's getting up earlier or whether it's, as you're saying, Nathan, evaluating how we spend our time and eliminating some of the time wasters.
Mm-hmm.
And making better use of that time.
What are some maybe other healthy spiritual practices in addition to, not as a substitute for, but in addition to Bible reading and prayer?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's a good idea to also, if you have time, to read Christian books that are written by solid Christian authors. I again heard Piper the other day talk about if you spent 15 minutes a day reading a good, solid Christian book, you could read 12 books in a year.
Mm-hmm. Good-sized books. Good-sized and that's for books. He said that's for basically for slow readers as well.
Yeah. And that was challenging and exhorting and a little bit convicting for me. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I went to this Together for the Gospel Conference in
I think I saw you
last spring. Yeah. And they gave me all these books, and I've got all these books on my shelf that are lying there collecting dust, unread.
Begging to be read.
Yeah. It's a good thing they don't have that conference every year. I think that's why they have it every other year, to give you time to read all the books you get. But it was convicting for me, thinking about, you know, 15 minutes a day doesn't seem like that much.
Especially when, as Nathan was saying, if you evaluate and go, do we already spend way more minutes on that, you know, looking at watching the news or looking on Facebook or Instagram or whatever? Like, what are we, where else are we spending time? And again, not that we can't spend time any other way, but if we just said, well, I'm going to take 15 minutes of those minutes and spend them here. And, you know, 30, 45 minutes of that over the course of a day, or 15 minutes in a given day, and spend it reading God's word.
Yeah. And so I think that's another good spiritual practice, healthy spiritual practice, is to read what other solid Christian men and women have written about the Bible and about the Christian life and about God himself. And
But I think that I think we assume, and maybe it's safe to assume, but why is that helpful? I mean, like, reading somebody else's thoughts, reading somebody's words, why is that super helpful for us?
Well, that might be hard for you to understand, Jason, because you are so brilliant when it comes to Scripture. But occasionally when I read the Scripture, I come away confused. And another thing that I do, I read the Scripture as if sometimes as if I'm just reading a novel. I don't really think deeply about them, about what I'm reading, or I don't see connections and make connections. Mm-hmm. And I think there are some really good authors that help me, for example, to see connections in Scripture that I don't necessarily always come up with on my own.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that it's like God gave teachers to the church. He gave pastors and teachers, and some of these pastors, teachers have put their teaching in written form so that we can have it. And this is the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in us just like they have in them, and yet there are different gifts and different experiences, different education, and different personalities and ways of seeing things that they can help us think about God in fuller ways and maybe clearer ways, and about the Christian life and about ourselves and this world and everything in ways that we normally don't. And so it's helpful. Like just the reality that words are conveyors of concepts, ideas. And we live every day based upon ideas, the concepts of how we think about life. We don't always evaluate it or think through it very clearly or carefully, but just reading other people's thoughts, ideas about God and his word, especially if we are going back to the word and reading that and evaluating and interpreting everything based upon Scripture, it really can be life-changing in many, many ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is a little bit of a shift away from the direction we've been in. But this came up in the Covenant member class the other night. I think we're talking kind of mainly about things we call spiritual disciplines. And I don't know if this is one, but the idea of submission came up. Mm-hmm. And I think submission is a healthy biblical practice, that God has all authority. God delegates that authority to people, and I think when we submit to those authorities, that we are submitting to God, and it's also training us to submit to God. So we talk to our kids about why they have to obey us. It's part of it is that, yes, God commands it, but it's why does he command it? One of the reasons is that it's training them to submit to him as the ultimate authority. And so I think because we're called to submit to God, I think submitting to the authorities in our life is actually a healthy spiritual practice, and it's unhealthy and also wreaks a lot of havoc in relationships when we don't submit to the authorities that God has given to us. So there's authority in the family structure of wives submitting to husbands, children submitting to their parents. There's authority within the church of people submitting to the elders. And I think there's also just the... This is what really was sparking kind of in my mind was the mutual submission within the church that we're called to be submitting to one another. And I think that's important because we can, I think we often think about spiritual disciplines and spiritual practices as an individualistic kind of thing of it's probably best if you go spend time alone with God on a mountaintop, if you can go for... You know, the longer period of time you can do that, the better off you are.
The more spiritual.
Yeah, the more spiritual. Yeah. And right. And people have experiences like that. And some of those experiences have led to cults and a lot of heresy. And so I think, I mean, really, God has given us the community of faith to keep us healthy, to keep us grounded in truth. When we can, maybe a lot of times what happens is someone will latch on to one particular aspect of scripture or one particular aspect of truth almost to the exclusion of other truths, and
overemphasizing
being, and being a part of a community of believers, if we're really submitting to the people that we are in community with, helps us, because people will say, well, yeah, but what about this truth also?
And so the individual spiritual practices need the accountability of the communal spiritual practices.
Yep.
So what are, so submission, what are some other aspects of that kind of mutual accountability and spiritual practices in the community?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we haven't directly said it, but gathering together with other believers is a healthy spiritual practice that we need to not give up.
That sounds almost like a verse of scripture.
Yeah,
not neglecting the gathering of yourselves together.
Yeah, something like
indeed.
That.
Indeed.
So making it a practice to gather together. We have our worship gatherings on Sunday morning. We have our small group meetings throughout the week. Making that a priority. It's easy to let other things begin to take priority over those, especially if we have kids involved in various activities. And so making that a priority and teaching our families that this is a priority for us and why it is a priority. Number one, it's commanded in Scripture. Number two, exactly what you guys were just talking about, that it's important for us to have accountability one with another, so that we don't head off in heretical rabbit trails.
Yes, and not only does it protect us, but I think it continues to preserve and stir us up in the other spiritual practices as well. And I think that what I said on Sunday in particular about seeking to hear from God and His Word is that we often need to be stirred up because we're sinful, and it's not because the Word is lacking; it's because we're lacking. We have something in us that's keeping us from seeing it as wonderful and as valuable and as necessary and beautiful and glorious. I think the same thing is true about the communal spiritual practices. If we say, I'm not really getting much out of that, that might not be the fault of that group. It might be what's in your own heart. And I think it's probably best to assume that. Maybe the issue is not that it's just nothing doing it for me. I'm not feeling connected. I'm not feeling like I'm benefiting from it. It might be in large measure that God is saying, I want you to persevere in it because you trust me. That even though you don't feel it working, I'm still doing something. And maybe it's your heart that is awry. And that's the very reason why you need other people, because you don't know your heart. You can't see things about you that other people can see. And you benefit from being around them even when you don't feel it or realize it at first. Yeah. And so persevere in it. I think perseverance would be huge.
Amen. Well, we're going to wrap this up. We talked about the spiritual disciplines of reading the scripture prayerfully and praying. We didn't really talk a whole lot about spending time in prayer, but it's so important to spend time just communicating with God, communicating your heart with God, confessing sin, worshiping, and then praying for things. And then we talked about the discipline of submitting to one another and gathering together. It feels like I missed one in the middle. Did I cover them all?
These are pretty good.
The last thing
you're talking about reading other Christian books.
Reading other Christian books, okay. The last thing, sometimes when I hear podcasts or sermons like this, I immediately begin feeling guilty and convicted. And it's not all bad to feel convicted, but we need to remind each other constantly that there is also grace that is available when we mess up, when we all of a sudden realize we've gone a week without cracking open our Bible, or we have approached two or three days in a row without really talking to God and asking and crying out for his help. And there is grace available for forgiveness. And so if you find yourself in that situation, just cry out to God, confess your sin, and ask God to work his grace in you, not only to atone for your sin, but also to give you the desire to continue doing these things. If you find that you are doing some of these spiritual practices, like reading scripture and praying, but you're not, you don't feel like you're getting anything out of it, confess that to God and ask him to help you delight in his word and to delight in communion with him. And those are prayers that he loves to answer.
Yeah, and I think that the grace needs to be understood as not making it okay for you to stay away, but grace to draw you back in.
Amen.
And there is also, for those who are listening to this and saying, well, I feel pretty good about myself because I'm doing a lot of these things and doing more. It shouldn't be lead to pride. It should lead to be gratefulness for God's grace that you have gotten to that place because God has drawn you to that.
Yes, it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure.
Amen.
Anything else, gentlemen? Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Piney Pastors Podcast. Take it away, Dave.
Thank you for listening. We have a new podcast each week, so be sure to subscribe on iTunes. For more information about Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri, visit us online at pineyridgechurch.org. That's P-E-I-N-E, ridgechurch.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Piney Ridge. That's all for today. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning.